The Homeland Security Department is one step closer to getting its own social media group. The Social Media Working Group Act amends the Homeland Security Act of 2002. It already has approval from the House and Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committees. The group would meet twice a year to plan how DHS can use social media in disaster response. Amanda Nguyen is Director of Strategy at Chief, former Director of Web Communications at the Agriculture Department's Office of Communications. Amanda, it's great to talk to you again. What are the key elements that an organization like a federal agency should consider when they want to do something like DHS looks like it's about to undertake? Thanks for coming on the program today.
Thanks so much for having me, Francis. I think one of the most important things that any organization can do is start by first understanding their audience and what channels they use, how they prefer to be communicated with, and how they should be crafting their messages. The audience, of course, is first and foremost most important here. Additionally, you need to make sure that you've got the right resources internally in order to sustain that effort. Even though DHS is talking about looking at emergency response and dealing with situations of that nature, it's important to establish your relationship with those communities well before disaster strikes. So having that relationship so people see them as a trusted resource and go to them for information rather than having to stand that up at a moment's notice will be critical for success.
The understanding the audience piece of it is the same struggle, and I'm not suggesting DHS is having a struggle because they're just getting underway here, but I've seen this struggle at other agencies across government. I recall one conversation I had with someone not at the agriculture department about standing up a Facebook page, and they were very excited about that. And I said, so that's terrific. What are you going to put on there? Well, we're going to have stuff on there for people to about what we're doing. Well, what stuff? And at that point in time, this is several years ago now, but at that point in time, they weren't able to identify the people who they were going to connect with, nor the information that they were going to provide. Just the fact that they were going to be there seemed to be sufficient in the minds of the folks that I was talking to. And it strikes me that that's exactly the wrong way to go about this. And it sounds, fortunately, like DHS doesn't intend to do it that way.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, what we always advise our partners at Chief against is the shiny object syndrome. You know, there's a lot of new things out there. There's Periscope. There's all of these new channels out there that, sure, they're bright, they're sexy, they're exciting, but is it really going to get you closer to your mission? You know, and another phrase that I like to use with folks, if you build it, they probably will not come unless there is that, you know, that hook in there. There's a reason for people to go to that Facebook page. So really being honest about, you know, your organization and holding up the mirror and saying, is this being true to our mission, to our audience, to our message? Sometimes it's better not to be disingenuous or try to stretch a little too much and just stick to some core tools that really make sense for what you're trying to accomplish.
Do you think it's possible there's a misunderstanding of the rules of new media, that in this particular case, one of the cardinal rules of old media, radio, for example, is important, and that is it's not sufficient to just have content. People have to know it exists. It's the old if the tree falls in the woods syndrome.
Yeah, you're right. And that's why I think having a mix of channels is so very important, rather than just standing up all of the new and the digital. You know, radio and broadcast and print are still king in a lot of different areas. So making sure that you take the time to properly plan for the channels, and that you have the governance and the resources internally in order to maintain them. Because once you've stood up the channel, people will keep coming back if there's valuable content, if they, you know, see value in whatever that platform might provide. But if that falls away, they'll forget about you. And then when the moment strikes where you need that audience to be tuned in, they won't be.
It's not just a matter of first impressions, it sounds like. It's also a matter of second and third and fourth and fifth and forever impressions, isn't it?
That's right. It's such a crowded space with all of the different channels that are out there for any given organization. You know, you go to their homepage and you see all the different social icons. Well, what's the distinct value of each particular one? What are you getting from those? You know, sometimes, again, it's better to focus on a few core channels, so you're not dividing your audience and competing for attention, not only with competitors or people.
What is the value proposition that you look at as you build a strategy like this, Amanda? What is it? How do you decide how to focus your efforts in a couple areas, or how do you decide which are the right fits for the kind of information that you're going to provide? Or does that really go back to the whole issue of understanding your audience?
A lot of it does go back.
Amanda seems to have been consumed by the phone fairies again. It is Amanda Nguyen of Chief. Oh, there you are. We have you again.
Sorry about that. No phone fairies today.
Fantastic.
You could just carry this on with Twitter. A lot of the times people want social media channels, but their website isn't exactly where it needs to be and the content isn't there. So always starting with that mothership, with that home base, is really important. But to figure out if it's worth really stepping out there, looking at how people use that channel and if it's bringing multimedia to bring a rich storytelling component to that platform, or if it's something else that allows you to communicate in real time as opposed to something else that may take more resources to, you know, get that information out there. Those are a lot of the things that we look at in terms of whether or not to actually go out and start a new channel.
Final thought on the DHS effort, the bill that's passed now, the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, has the social media working group at DHS looking like this. Representatives from the private sector, also from state, local, federal, tribal governments, nonprofit disaster relief organizations, emergency responders, and academia, according to NextGov. That sounds like a terrific mix of people to provide feedback on the audience that the DHS will want to reach and will help them avoid the idea that a bunch of people sitting in Washington will decide what they're going to put out. Am I on the right track there, do you think?
You are. And also, I think it's important to look internationally as well as, you know, to the private sector. You know, normal people are normal people. They're not bureaucrats inside the Beltway. So we need to really understand how it is that people behave in these kinds of situations and understand that it calls for some flexibility, which oftentimes federal, you know, state and local governments don't always allow. So trying to figure out how you can draw from the best examples to really provide the best possible policy and platform so we can communicate with people in a time of need.